Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello everybody, this is Paul Neeson. Thank you for listening to the show today. I have this show here, and the name of my website is TorahLifeMinistries.org, and most Christians do not know what the word Torah is. And Torah is the foundation of all Scripture. It's the first five books of the Bible. Now, when many Christians hear that, they think the Gospels, Matthew, Luke, John, and so on. It's not the Gospels, folks. That's the middle of the book. The Bible starts with Genesis, and in English or Hebrew, Genesis means Bereshit, which means beginning. And that's the beginning of the book. And what I teach here and what I'm going to be teaching from is if you walk into a movie theater and the movie has already started, let's say you're running really late and you get to the movie theater 20 minutes late, maybe a half hour late. Now it's an hour and a half movie. You've gotten there a half hour late. So you've obviously missed the beginning and you might not know exactly what's going on. Now, if you ask the person next to you, you whisper to them and you say, oh, I got here late and I want to know what's going on, catch up to things so I could know where we're at and know what's going on. And, you know, they'll tell, if they're kind enough to interrupt watching the movie to briefly tell you a quick update on what's going on. Now, here's the problem. What if that person that you're asking was, let's say, 20 minutes late or 25 minutes late? And they didn't have a complete understanding of what was going on either. So now you have two people watching a movie. Not only do you not have a good understanding of what's going on, but you think you do. Because somebody told you. And you think, well, now I got a good idea. But not questioning who that somebody was or how late that somebody came into the picture. Came into the movie theater, so to say. And that begins the problem of not knowing exactly what's going on and guessing. And then if you guess, it becomes just a wild guess. Sometimes it might be a good calculated guess, but it's just a movie, so it doesn't really matter if you guess right or wrong because it's Hollywood. But when you're looking at our life, our spiritual life, then it becomes a much more serious thing. And I will submit to you that many Christians, by opening their book to the Renewed Covenant or the New Testament only, what they have done is they're taking a chance and they're guessing on their spiritual battles, on their spiritual life, and everything connected to that. And that is a serious thing, folks. We need to get to the beginning, not the middle, and start at the beginning. And the start of the beginning of the book, the first five books of the Bible, is the Torah, starting in Genesis. And that is the instructions. Those first five books, Genesis and then Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy, those five books will explain the instructions that lay out everything that happens in the Bible after that. So when you had the prophets or other stories in the Old Testament, or when you had the Apostle Paul or Timothy or all the other characters in the Renewed Covenant, the New Testament, saying things and doing things, everything was based according to the guidelines and the instructions that were given in the first five books of the Bible. Now, how do you think these people would have gotten along? How do you even think the Bible would have been written without these important guidelines and instructions which sum up the will of our wonderful Creator, Yahweh? It couldn't be done without it. And we need to understand Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, that's what he taught from. He taught from the first five books of the Bible, known as the Torah. Because they are the instructions of our Creator that lay out the will of our Heavenly Father Yahweh of how He wants us to live our lives. And if we are desiring to do so, but we mess up, we have the mercy and the grace of the blood of Yeshua. However, it clearly says there's no sacrifice for willful sin if we continually, over and over again, make a practice of sin, make a practice of living against these guidelines and instructions, whether we know them or not, there are severe consequences. And that's what I'm doing here. I'm here to let you know these things so you can make a wise decision, a wise choice, and to know what good is, and then to do good and choose good. See, it says in the scriptures, many are called, but few are chosen. But what it really says in the ancient Aramaic is many are called, but few choose. See, we all have a choice, folks. And I'm going to give you this information, but a lot of Christians, to be honest with you, won't want to listen to this, because what I'm going to tell you is the Bible says we are in control of many things. And it says based on our actions, something we do is going to determine the outcome. It's not just that we say a couple of words and we sit back and we let good things happen to us. No, we actually have to follow it up. It says in the scriptures, listen to me and do as I say, and all will be well with you. It just doesn't say, you know, listen to me. It says, and do what I say. There's an action word that's in there that takes place. So we have to understand that. I was just talking to a pastor on the phone, and I was explaining this to him. And I was telling him, when it says in Timothy, all scripture is profitable for man, what scriptures do you think they're talking about? And he thought about it, and he gave me some scriptures from Isaiah, and then he gave me some scriptures from Peter. And I said, nope, they weren't talking about scriptures from Peter. And then he gave me some other scriptures from the New Testament. I said, he wasn't talking about that. And he said, how do you know that? I said, because when he said that, when Paul said that in the book of Timothy, all scripture is profitable for man, there was no such thing as the New Testament. They were living it at that time. It had yet to be completed. So the scriptures they were talking about that were profitable for man is the same scriptures I'm telling you about. It's the instructions and guidelines of our Creator, His will for us, found in those first five books. And that's the books that are profitable for man. And we think about that, and we think about how the enemy has deceived people today tremendously. Tremendously. What do you think? Some of you are new Christians, but some of you have been believers for a long time, and you think you know your Bibles well. Well, I'll submit this question to you. What do you think is the number one topic in terms of the amount of time spent talking about it, more than any other topic in all of the scriptures? In all of the scriptures, so it must be important if it was spoken about more than any other topic. And if we know our commandments, so let's just dummy it down to the Ten Commandments, because there are over 600, but let's go down to the Ten Commandments like many of the church does to get more people in their church and get more money and things like that. So now you got Ten Commandments. What's the fourth commandment? And for those of you that don't know it, I'll tell you what it is. It's honor the Sabbath and keep the Sabbath holy. And it's clear the Sabbath is on Saturday. Now, just like I told this pastor, I tell you, when do you think and how do you think the Sabbath got changed from Saturday to Sunday? Was it a Bible thing or was it a man-made thing? Was it a man-made tradition or a Bible thing? And if you look at the history of everything, you see prophecy and things about the future or theologies about the future, they're all guesses, folks. They're all guesses, but history is history and it's already happened. So when we think about this, if you look at the Roman Emperor Constantine, he is the one that killed people for following and keeping the Sabbath holy, the fourth command. He killed them for doing that, and he said, now you're going to worship on this day, Sunday. Now, I don't got a problem with people worshiping on Sunday. That's great. Worship every day of the week. But to defile and break the holy Sabbath of our Creator, that in the scripture says is a stonable offense. And I don't expect anyone to stone anyone today, but this is saying this is serious stuff. And it's spoken about more than any other topic in all the scriptures. And to ignore it, that's the problem we have. The enemy has deceived us to thinking, you know, once we accept Yeshua, that's the beginning, that's the end of the story. And I will submit to you, that's the beginning of the story. When you accept Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, now you have to do something. You can't just sit there still loving what you loved before you accept him. You have to now love what he loves and hate what he hates. And the only way you're going to know that is to know his story, the history that's found in the scriptures. You got to read your Bible to do that. That's how you're going to learn. But there are so many Christians that are deceived out there today because their church is not teaching from the Bible. Their church is teaching man-made traditions. So I said to this pastor that I was just talking to, and I'll tell you as well. I said, did you just complete Easter? And many people just completed celebrating Easter. And I said, what did you eat on Easter? And he didn't tell me this, but he knows people that did. Many people on Easter will eat something called Easter ham. Folks, This is an abomination according to the scriptures. To put pork in our bodies at any time is an abomination. And that was never done away with. It's just as bad as the moral sins that people, that even non-believers are following. So you got the non-believers lying, cursing, stealing. Okay, we all know these are moral things and we shouldn't be doing them. Why are they moral things? It's not because our conscience, folks. It's because our Creator said in the Bible that these things were wrong. And those that missed it, some of them don't even think these things are wrong, but they are, and most of the world knows this. So if most of the world knows these things are wrong, and we know these things are wrong as believers, what's the difference? The difference is the blood of Yeshua. Yes, but there's so many more things that are given to show us what's wrong that most of the world doesn't know, that they're not a moral issue or conscience issue because they've never been taught to us. And if they were, everyone should have an unset feeling for breaking the Sabbath. We shouldn't feel good about living in sin and enjoying it. It says in the Bible, in the scriptures, sin is transgression of our Creator's guidelines and instructions. Basically, it's living against the word of our Creator. And most Christians will say, this is absurd to say something like that. We're not living in sin and we're not living against the word of our Creator. You know, everyone sins and we're not perfect. Yes, everyone sins and we're not perfect. But the difference is, do you hate the sin you commit or do you love it and keep doing it? That's the difference. Do you repent for the sin? Identify it and repent for it and have a remorseful heart for it and pray not to do it again? Or do you make some excuse saying, oh, Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, died for my sin so I can keep doing this? No, if the scriptures say it's wrong, folks, guess what? It's wrong and we shouldn't be doing it. We have that. That's what righteous is about. Righteous living. Living righteous. Living right. Right according to what? According to the word of our Creator. But now going back to the Easter ham thing and just, you know, the pork, anything. No church in this world should be having pork. You know, this isn't a Muslim thing or a Jewish thing. This is a Bible thing, folks. It's a Bible thing. And that's the problem. Some people say, well, the Torah, that's a Jewish thing. No, it's not. Listen, Abraham wasn't Jewish. Isaac wasn't Jewish. Jacob wasn't Jewish. These things, folks, are not a Jewish thing. They're a Bible thing. They come from the word of our Creator, and this is what he tells us. So we need to get right with his word, righteous living, if we want him to be right with us. To live as a testimony for him would mean we're following his guidelines and instructions and not desiring to live against it. You know, but it's called coming out of Babylon, and many people are stuck in Babylon, just like when the Egyptians were keeping the Hebrew slaves, the Israelites as slaves in Egypt. When they came out, the reason why they wandered around the desert for 40 years, because even though they came out of Egypt, Egypt did not come out of them. And that's what's happened today. Many of us of the world, many of us that are backsliding, many of us that weren't living for Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, now they've accepted him with their lips, but still, the world is in their heart. And that's the problem, folks. That's the issue. That's what we need to change. We need to understand that the Bible says, like, you know, listen and do. Now, underline that word do. Take action. Do something about it. Don't just listen. You know, it doesn't say ask and receive. It says ask and do and shall receive. There's an action that must be taking place. And the scriptures clearly show something we do not only can have an impact on our life based on the consequences that happen, but could also have an impact on our time here. Because it says, those that follow my words shall have a long life of peace and shalom, but those that do not, it says, disasters will come amongst them. The curses will come amongst them. That's it. There are curses for disobeying our Creator, for living against his will, for going against his guidelines and instructions. And the opposite of curses is blessings. And we're blessed for following his guidelines and instructions and keeping his word and living the way he said to live. We have that choice. We have that option. That's the great thing. Many are called, but few are chosen. No, many are called, but few choose. What is the choice you're going to make? In the Bible, it says, today I stand before you, and I offer you life and death. Choose life so you may live. And the people answered not a word. It's the enemy, the temptation of the enemy, the temptation of the flesh, the temptation of the world, just wants us to live against the Creator's guidelines and instructions and his word. And now they have so many tricks and all these other marketing ploys to get people into the churches today. Because people don't want to take responsibility for what the actual scriptures say. So now you got some churches, some Christian, so-called Christian churches, popular Christian pastors out there actually mixing Islam with Christianity, calling it Chrislam. You say, I never heard of that. That seems strange. Well, Pastor Rick Warren and other popular pastors in the United States, that's what they're actually doing. They're taking the best of or their favorite things, or the people, the fleshly things of every popular belief system out there, and they're making a love religion out of it. And now all of a sudden you have a whole bunch of people following it because it's easy and it's what they want to do, not what they need to do. That's what New Age is about, folks. That's what it is, and that's what we become. You know, we are today a bunch of lukewarm, deceived, so-called Christians, but we're liars. But if it says, if you confess my name and you do not follow me, you are a liar. He goes on to say, I did not even know you. Get away from me. We have to be truthful. We have to be honest. And we have to be honest with ourselves. When the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commands. What do you do with that one? What do you do with that one, folks? And I'll tell you this. Yeshua is Yahweh. Jesus is Lord. He is the ultimate of everything. And when somebody says, well, his commandments were different than God's commandments in the Old Testament, they could not have been. And they are not different. They're the same exact because he doesn't change. He doesn't change. They're his commandments. He's not going to say, well, I told you to do this. Now I'm telling you to do this. No, he said, I told you to do this. Now I'm going to tell you even more how to keep this or how important it is. Not only not to commit adultery, but don't even look at somebody with lust of adultery. He didn't change it. That was a problem that the Pharisees and the sages had with Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. That was a problem Yeshua had with them also. Let's look at the Sabbath for a second. Let's think about that again. He didn't do away with the Sabbath. Nowhere in your Bible will you find that it says, Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, says it's now okay not to keep the Sabbath. Somebody said, well, he had an issue with the Pharisees and the sages. Said, no, the Bible says, do not add or take away, but keep my commandments. Do not add or take away, and underline and highlight the word that says, but keep. So do not add or take away, but keep my commandments is what it says. So Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, had an issue with the Pharisees because they were adding to the word. They were adding to the commandment. They were making it more than it truly was. So he didn't say don't keep the Sabbath. He said don't keep the Sabbath like them because they're the ones that are breaking the commandment by adding to it. And that's why he had a problem with the Pharisees and the sages, is because they kept adding to things. And they were saying about Yeshua, the one we call Jesus, they were saying he's not doing enough. He's not doing enough. No, he wasn't following the man-made traditions back then. That's what he wasn't doing. And that's what he was up against. And then today, what you have the church doing the opposite. But it says, do not add or take away or subtract from my word. And the church today, for the most part, not every church, but the majority of churches out there, have taken away from the word. And if you meet somebody that's keeping the guidelines and instructions that we're told to keep, what are they called? A legalist. I will submit to you, back then they were telling Yeshua he didn't do enough. Today they would say you're a legalist. Get out of here. You're doing way more than you need to do. No. We have been given the set of instructions, the guidelines of our Creator, exactly what we need to be doing and how we need to be doing it in the Word of our Creator. And it's not difficult to follow, folks. It's not difficult. It goes on to say in the Bible, my commandments shall not be burdensome to those who love me. Shall not be burdensome. You have to understand this, folks. There's a wide path and there's a narrow path. It says in the Bible, only that narrow path is going to lead to that narrow gate. But only few will find it. Few will find it. Because that wide path is the world's ways. And that narrow path is the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, known as the Torah. And that narrow path leads to that narrow gate, which is Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. I know in our hearts, we all want to achieve it. In our hearts, we all want to get there. The problem is the deception. It's our minds, the brainwashing that has been taking place in the churches today. That's the real issue, and that's what we have to overcome, folks. We have to think about that. Now go back to the Easter ham example. Okay, somebody might say, well, I didn't have Easter ham or pork on Easter. But you still kept Easter. I tell people, I just told this pastor, do you keep Halloween? He says, absolutely not. That's an evil pagan day. And I will submit to you that Easter and Christmas are more pagan than that day. Our wonderful Messiah did not die on Easter. Easter is a pagan holiday of the sun goddess Eostasis that was impregnated by Tasmuz, and they had a baby, and the egg fell from the sky, and people would murder babies and make a pool of their blood and dip eggs in the blood, and that's where you get all the whole tradition of Easter. No, our wonderful Messiah died on Passover, and the first fruits of Passover is what's coming upon us now, and this is the day to celebrate his death and resurrection. And we think about this, and we think about when Elizabeth was approached by Mary 6 months apart, and John the Baptist was born 6 months prior to Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. It all works in line with the Feast of Sukkot and Tabernacles is when Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, was actually born. He was born during the Feast of Tabernacles. He wasn't born on December 25th. Anyone that believes that, you need to come out of Babylon. Your eyes need to be open. That's what man-made church says. But what the Bible shows is he was born during the Feast of Sukkot, which is sometime in September or October. And 6 months prior to that, John the Baptist was born around the Passover time. And you have it all lined up in Scripture with Mary coming to Elizabeth 6 months prior to her giving birth and not pregnancy. Folks, the Scriptures do not lie. The Scriptures are his story, H-I-S-S-T-O-Y, his story from the beginning to the end. He is the wonderful Messiah, Yeshua, the one we call Jesus. And he's given us this word clear enough to see, parables to understand. We can get it right. We just have to take time to read our Bibles for ourselves. Ask yourself, where did I learn certain things that are being taught? Who told us that, and where did it come from? No matter how high esteem you hold that person who told you that, where did it come from? And was this biblically based, or was this a pagan tradition based? When we think about that, we can understand so much more from the history of the past than we can by focusing so much on the prophecies of the future. Now, the Scriptures and Revelation speaks for itself of things that are going to happen. But you know what? We are in trouble if we're not following the historical record of our wonderful Creator who said, if you love me, keep my commandments. My guidelines and instructions shall keep you safe. Follow the Torah of your Elohim and you will be blessed. Listen to me and do as I say and you'll have a good long life. Verses that there are consequences. It says, do not follow the ways of the Egyptians. If you diligently follow my guidelines and instructions and keep all my commandments and ordinances, I will not put the same diseases upon you that I put upon the Egyptians. That's Exodus 15:26. Basically, change the word diseases for curses. Because that's what a disease is. It's a curse. So, Exodus 15:26 again. If you diligently follow my guidelines and instructions and keep my statutes and commandments, I will not put the same curses upon you that I put upon the disobedient Egyptian people. He even goes on to say later in the Scriptures, when you come out of the land that I've taken you, and I bring you into the new land, which you came out of Egypt, went into the Canaanites, do not follow their ways. Do not mingle the seed and follow their customs. In fact, he said, when you go to that new land, find every abominable thing, everything that goes against my word. Find it and destroy it. That's what he said, whether it was people or whether it was a place, or a stone, or an idol, find it and destroy it. He said, if you do that, you will be blessed abundantly. But if you do not, curses will come upon you. And what happened? The children went in, and they didn't listen. They didn't do that. And the curses have come upon us. Every single day, there's a new disease being named. With all the medical science and technology and everything else, every single day, there's a new disease being named. Because of the mingling of the seed. And that's what's happening today. Chrislam or Christian yoga and all these other worldly things or the lukewarm church today pretty much is that, you know, that's the issue. We need to be radical for our Creator. We need to be extreme for Him. If somebody's going to call us a legalist, we need to take that as a compliment, not as a put down. If I'm following the scriptures so well that you know it, great. And we need to go out there and profess and let people know about Him. You know, we need to repent daily. We need to teach about repentance. That's a good word, not a bad word. We need to submit ourselves every single day for a new heart, a new heart. You know, I know many loving Christians who are seriously deceived and missing this information. And they do have blessings. They are blessed to a degree. But oh, how much more they'd be blessed if they would just follow Him. Follow Him. Yes, when Yeshua was here, the one you call Jesus, He was having issues with the Pharisees and sages. It wasn't over the commandments, folks. They knew the commandments, and He knew the commandments, and everyone back then knew the commandments. It wasn't about that. It was the sages and Pharisees' attitude towards the commandments. That's what Yeshua rebuked. Their hypocritical attitude. Their pride, and so on. It's their attitude. So we need two things that's shown in Scripture. We need to know the will of our Father, which is found in His guidelines and instructions, which is the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. And we also need the right attitude, the attitude of Yeshua, to carry those things out. When He says your righteousness must be better than the Pharisees and sages, they had the Torah. They understood it. Because of pride, they were adding to it. It was their attitude they had an issue with, or was their issue. So when He says your righteousness must be better than theirs, well, if they were keeping the guidelines and instructions, how can we actually do better? And the answer is, by having the right attitude, by having the heart and the attitude of Yeshua, the submissive heart of Yeshua, and to understand love, mercy, not only the mercy you receive, but the mercy you give, forgiveness, all these things that go against our flesh. We need to be more like Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, and less like us. And that's what we need to strive for. And this is what I teach on my website, www.TorahLifeMinistries.org. I thank you for listening today. I'm on the station wherever you're hearing this, usually the same time every week. You can contact me through my website. I also give out my phone number at the end of the program here. But folks, listen. He tells us and promises us a more excellent way. He says, I know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they can live. Folks, do you want a future and a hope? Well, it's time we understood the difference between righteousness and wickedness, and we followed His way. Thank you for listening. Have a blessed day, and shalom, shalom.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 3341. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life
Ministry. This is Rick Addison, pastor of the Grace Place Church. If it seems like life's getting more and more complex and you don't know where to find the answers, join us each weekend to discover what God says about how to really live. We meet for worship on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday 9 and 11 a.m. At the Grace Place, we celebrate God's grace every day.
For so long, I was silent. For so long, I did not have a song of praise. Depression filled my days, and clouds blocked my way. But there was a voice speaking to me. Oh, waking the passion so quiet in me.